This morning, I have no doubt that there are lost people here amongst us, and I want to be aware of that. But this is the 61st anniversary of this church, and I don't know who's probably been here the longest, but there's certain things in your life that you had to get in order to be here that long. I got people that's been with me ever since I started. 32 years ago, and I'm back pastor now. I turned it over to a man, and that didn't quite work out, so I'm back in the pastorate again. And there's certain things that you have to do in order to do this thing right and finish it right. Amen. Do you realize very few people finish?
Yes, sir.
Seriously. And God will never reward you for what you start. He rewards you for what you finish. Amen. He does not keep a record of what you started.
Right.
But he does keep a record of what you finished.
Amen.
And very few. And I'm talking about preachers, missionaries.
Yes,
and I've been in this thing over 40 years, and I've heard some stories. And you say, why is that? And it was taught in Sunday school this morning. We have an adversary. Amen. But your main adversary, you brought it to church this morning.
You're right.
Is you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your neighbor. It's not your boss. It's not your mother-in-law. Which I had to pray about that in a lot. But it's not your mother-in-law. I had a good mother-in-law. But we do have an adversary, so it's hard to finish right. It's hard to stay right. And it's hard to get right. And I want to preach on that this morning, on the trinity of a victorious Christian life. That's get right, live right, and die right.
Amen.
And what an honor for a pastor or a preacher to walk, to be invited to preach a godly person funeral. I probably hadn't done five of them in 40 years. Somebody that I was real proud to get up and say a lot of good stuff about. Mostly we get the bad ones. Amen, and I do try to comfort the church, you know, comfort the family. The person laying there in that coffin, you can't help him or her.
Right.
They made their decision. Pray for so-and-so, he died the other day. No, ain't no sense praying for him.
Right.
It ain't going to help him.
Right.
No, he made his decision here. And no doubt there's some here this morning that has not accepted Christ, and you say, well, I get saved on my deathbed, or I get saved here and I get saved there. It ain't up to you. No man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit which sent me draw him. If God ain't drawing you and dealing with your heart, you will not get saved. I don't care what prayer you say. If you're not under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Now, y'all don't die on me here. I'm not preaching strange doctrine here. Amen. I got some, but I ain't going to preach it here today. All of us have some. Everyone, every preacher in here got some strange doctrine. That's why I don't talk Bible around fellowships. Say, what do you believe? Well, whatever you believe is what I believe. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get into the message. Father, we do thank you for loving us and being good to us. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. This very precious occasion here in the life of this church, Lord, and many of them don't make it 61 years, Father. They about, no telling how many churches closing every year. And many of them's independent Baptists, Lord. Heard of one the other day that went out up in Canada, Lord. And so, God, we pray for the success of this church. We thank you for the souls that's been saved through the years. We thank you of the families that's been mended and healed and put back together. We thank you, God, for the comfort that's been given through the messages and the teaching and the fellowship, Lord. And God, we ask you to bless this preacher, Father. Help him lead this church in the way you'd have it to be led. And God, we bless, we pray for the precious people here. They probably some this morning are discouraged, down and out, Lord. No telling what kind of news they had to deal with last week, or what they're dealing with in their family, Lord, or perhaps what they're dealing with in their marriage. And God, I ask you this morning to help me help them, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look in Philippians chapter 3, I got two or three texts here. I was taught in Bible school, you got to have a text and a title. And so they didn't ever say it had to match, but I always got one. You ever got a message up and ain't got no title and ain't got no text? but it's a message. And it's a Bible message, so I got all of those here this morning. But look with me in, Philippians chapter 3, I'm sorry. While we're there, just stay in 2 Timothy. I got something out of there too. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, Paul was writing this, he said, "For I am not ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now, I like verse 7. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight." The Christian life is a fight.
Yes, sir.
Right. "I have finished my course." The Christian life is a course.
Right.
"I have kept the faith." The Christian life is a life of faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And so Paul, you see him here as a soldier. He said, "I fought a good fight." Then you see him as a servant. He said, "I've finished my course." Then you see him as a saint. "I have kept the faith." And that's the trinity of life. Get right, live right, and die right.
Amen.
And that's what we need to, I'm going to preach on that this morning, but that's what you need to get in your heart to do. And you say, "Well, preacher, I have this and I have that." I think it's in Hebrews that we read. I'm not going to read it in Hebrews 11 if I ain't mistaken. But we got others that suffered the same thing that we're going through.
Right.
Matter of fact, they had a worse time than what we got.
Yes, sir.
Right. We're not in fear this morning of someone coming in here and arresting us. We're not in fear of being put in jail today. We're not in fear of being punished for what we're doing here today. God has blessed our country and blessed us.
Amen.
And so we stand here in freedom with a book in our hand that tells us how to live for God, how to do right, how to get right, and then how to die right.
Right.
You know, getting right and doing right ain't no good if you can't die right. Amen. I like to go to an old saint's house. As a matter of fact, I done a funeral a couple of weeks ago. Brother Harris died. Y'all remember him. He died. And he was ready to go. And they asked me to do his funeral. And what a joy and a blessing. Amen. To stand there and have good things to say about him. His love for God. His love for his family. His love for this book. He was a student of the Word of God. And that means a lot. You know, that means a lot to your family. That means a lot, Mom and Daddy, when you go on to be with the Lord and your kids can say, "My mama and my daddy love God."
Yes, sir.
Amen. How many kids has got right at the mama's funeral or the daddy's funeral that was raised in church? Amen. There have been a lot of them. I know two or three of them. I know a preacher right now that he was wild as a buck. His daddy died, who was a preacher, and at his funeral he got right and he'd been preaching for 40 years. Brother Mike Ragland, if y'all know him. Amen? But that's so sad. This is a good life.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
This is a happy life.
Yes, sir.
This is a life of contentment.
Yes, sir.
And if your life is boring, how about travel with me for about 2 years? Miss Meyer, tell you in a heartbeat, it has not been boring. It's been a lot of things, but boring ain't one of them. And matter of fact, just getting up here last night wasn't boring. We got in about 12. I'm 75. That's kind of late for an old man, but amen. I'm here. Look in Philippians chapter 3, if you would. We're going to preach here for just a minute. I like what Paul said here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Now, God can reveal nothing to you when you're not right with him.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He speaks to you through the Holy Spirit of God. There are three ways God will deal with you. Through the Spirit, through the servant, the preacher, the teacher. Amen. And through the sermons. Sermon can come in a song. I'm blessed to be around him a couple of times a year. And it can come in a song. But that's the way God will deal with you. So I want to show you the little recipe over in the book of John. chapter 15, if you'll turn there with me, I want to show you some things today, how to get right, stay right, and die right. Amen. God was so gracious that he gave us a little recipe over here. You know, Paul was concerned about this in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, this was the Apostle Paul writing in 1 Corinthians, which he was about 30 years old in the Lord at this time, and he's still worried about this. He was still concerned about this. He said, "I keep under my body." That's your number one enemy, not the devil. Your number one enemy, you brought it to church this morning. You got it out of the bed, finally. I've preached all over this country that a snooze button straight out of hell. What good is 10 extra minutes going to do you? I mean, seriously. Now, I could see 10 more hours or 4 more hours, but not 10 minutes. And also, you've lost the first battle of the flesh for the day. You've lost the first battle the flesh had, hitting the snooze button. It's going to be interesting for us over here, brother. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, not only did you have to get it out of bed, you had to wash it.
Right.
And you ladies spent a long time getting your hair looking decent enough to come to church. And then, well, I appreciate it too, by the way. Us men, we have to shave it. Then we have to put something on us to keep it from stinking.
Yeah.
Then we have to dress it to hide a lot of the flaws we got.
Yeah.
And finally, you got it to church.
Yeah.
And now all it's thinking about is, when is he going to be through so we can eat? Amen? After Brother Brent talked about all the food back there, I'm kind of concerned about that myself. So look with me, if you would, in John chapter 15, and we'll preach here a little bit and go eat. John chapter 15, Jesus Christ was speaking here, and this is what he said. If I can find John 15, you're right here. John 15, verse 7. The Lord here was speaking, and he's talking about fruit, and that's been preached on quite a bit. More fruit, much fruit, much fruit. But he gets down to verse 7. Look what he says. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. As the Father has loved you, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love." Now, see, people, they got this easy believism, and they also got this casual Christianity.
Yeah.
We don't work to be saved.
Right.
We work because we are saved.
Amen?
Amen. Well, we're not doing, I'm not preaching this morning to get to heaven. I'm preaching this morning because it's a call of God on my life.
Right.
Amen. You're here in church this morning not to get to heaven. You come to church this morning because you love the Lord, you love the Word of God, you love the people of God, you love the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. And people think they can live and do any way they please, and yet the love of God abideth on them. That ain't what it says in verse 10. If you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Do as you please. Live like you want to. Go back to a little profession you made back when you was 10, 12, 13 years old. I made one at 12. It never produced nothing but wickedness. In a little church in Mississippi, got baptized in a muddy fish pond. I really got saved at 33 in Birmingham, Alabama. But if somebody talked to me, I'd tell them that's when I got saved. I had no fruit whatsoever, no desire to go to church, no desire to love God, no desire for this book here. But when I got saved at 33 years old, I got all those things.
Amen.
And I hit the ground running. I hadn't let up. They people sitting here this morning, you're basing that on what your mama told you you done at 6 years old. And you have no fruit. You was drugged to church this morning. Amen. Amen. People say you believe in drugs. Yeah, you've been drugged here this morning, so... Many of God's children have good intention of making a mark for the Master, but when it comes to the end of the life, realize they have failed. In John 15, verse 7, he says here, if you abide in me. So I want to show you some things this morning to get right, live right, and die right. Look in verse 7, the first part. Christ, you got to have a Christ-centered life. Christ has got to be number one. Christ has got to be top priority. Christ has got to be on the throne of your life. Everything that you do has got to be surrounded around Christ, what he thinks about it, is he pleased with it. Amen? That's your job. That's your marriage. That's raising your children. That's the church you choose. They go to the church of your choice. Don't ever go to the church of your choice unless God tells you it is. Amen? And if you tried to come here, then God led you here. I heard the testimony of this brother right here and his wife's on an airplane. Boy, is that not a divine appointment? They was hunting a church, lived in this community, and ended up on an airplane with Brother Joel. Is that not weird? You don't believe there's a God in heaven?
Yes, sir.
Them, I don't know that couple, but I'm pretty sure they was praying, God, send us to a good church. Send us a church that believes the King James Bible. And here sits a preacher on an airplane by a woman and got to talking to the woman, and they were hunting a church in this community. That's got to be a divine appointment of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm not a Calvinist, but that borderline right there, you're close on Calvinism. Amen. But he said, if you abide in me, now Christ has to be on the throne. You got to have, if you're going to get right, live right, and die right, Christ has got to be the center of your attention.
Yes,
he's got to be the one that supports you. He's got to be the one you talk to on a daily basis. He's got to be the one that you fellowship with. He's got to be the one that lives in your home. He's got to be in all your activities. He's got to go hunting with you. He's got to go to the racetrack with you. He's got to go to Walmart with you. Amen? He's got to be number one if you're going to live right, get right, live right, and die right.
Yes, sir.
And this is not speaking of salvation. It's talking about a life of submission, of service, and of surrenderance. Amen.
Yeah.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what some of you doing? You running out yonder trying to find all these things when God promised you if you stay right here in church and love God.
Right.
I have had a good life. I've had an exciting life.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't get saved until I was 33. I've been all over the world. I've seen 5 of the 8 wonders of the world serving God.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, I've had a good life, exciting life. And I thought before I got saved that I had an exciting life. I didn't know nothing about it. Amen. But God has been good to us, and God has provided for us. But you got to put him on the throne of your life and put everything else around him, not put yourself on the throne of your life, and then you put him in here. On Sunday morning, it's God time. Saturday night, it's party time. Monday morning, it's job time. Amen? You put him on, and everything circles around that. You know, when I got saved and still work in public work, do you know that God put me around Christians?
Amen.
And if they wasn't none there, I'd win them to God, and then I'd have Christian fellowship.
Amen.
I won 19 co-workers the first year I was saved.
Praise
so we had fellowship, we had Bible study, we had morning devotion.
Amen.
And I wasn't saved no time. I didn't know nothing. Ain't no telling what I taught them people. 8 o'clock, that boss man, we won him to God. And that boss man in his office, he from 8 to 8:30, I had to give a devotion. I'd been saved a year. Ain't no telling what I taught him, Brother Brent. And he told him, he said, now, if you don't want this and you don't like this, you don't have to come in here. But if I hear you talking about it, you're hitting the door. I like that. Take a stand for God. You don't have to sell out for God. Chick-fil-A, the founder of Chick-fil-A didn't sell out, did he? And his peers told him, you'll not make it if you're not open on Sunday. He's the fastest growing chain in America today.
Amen.
Amen? You've got to put Christ on the center of your life. You've got to put him on the throne of your life. He's got to be the one that agrees with what you're doing. He's got to be the one that you pray to. Before you make a major purchase, you need to talk to God about it. This world is set up on impulse buying. It is. That's all these commercials. That's impulse buying. I see it, I want it, and I'm going to get it because I got the ability. Amen. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. So if you're displeasing to God, you'll be displeasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has to be the center of your life for you to make a mark for the master and get right, live right, and die right.
Yes, sir.
But you know when you pull him out, when you got trouble?
Oh,
you pull him out when you got that bad doctor's report. You pull him out when that child's headed to the emergency room in an ambulance. You get real religious then. You pull him out when mama's laying on her deathbed and she's been preaching to you all your life and you've been a heathen, and then you get real religious. You ought to walk with him daily, on daily basis. When I go to my prayer closet to get on my knees to pray, I don't want him to look around at the angels and say, who in the world is this? How about check the books over there? I don't remember him. Next thing you'll find there in that verse, in B of that verse, verse 7, you got to have a Bible-anchored life, and my words abide in you. See, it's one thing for you listen to the words. It's another thing for them to abide in you. When they abide in you, they guide you. When they abide in you, they comfort you. When they abide in you, they will encourage you. When they abide in you, they will constrain you. When they abide in you, they will convict you. Amen? And the word just got, he said, and my word abide in you. Well, you got to, first of all, put the word in there in order for it to abide. You need to be reading your Bible daily. Do you know the average preacher today can't get up and preach much Bible, deep Bible? Why? Because God's people ain't reading it. They can't handle sound doctrine. Amen? And if you get up and preach strong or hard or mean, I'm not a mean preacher, but I will get down and plow your turnip patch for you. Amen? But the people get offended. Why? They don't know what the Bible says about it. You start trying to exercise church discipline and everybody in your church will get mad at you and leave. Why? They don't know what the Bible says about it. Amen? You get up and get to preaching on the family and they'll get offended at you. Why? Because they don't know what the Bible says about it. You get them preach on raising your children. The mama and daddy, usually the mama get mad at you. Why? They don't know what the Bible says about it. We're living in the most uneducated generation of Christians for the Word of God. You can't deal with a lot of matters in your church. Why? You will run the folks off, and I'm not a compromiser by no means, but I believe you got to let them grow a little bit, and then we start cleaning them up. You ever tried to clean a fish without catching it? That's pretty hard, I'm telling you. You got to get it in the boat, amen,
yeah,
before you can get the scales off of it. So don't try to clean them up before you get them in.
Yeah,
put up with a few things. Put up with them proper dress as long as they got their body covered.
Yeah.
Amen. Put up with smoking a little bit. I smoked when I got saved, but through the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, I quit.
Amen.
So you're going to have a Bible-anchored life. The Word of God is one of the most important things in your life as a Christian. It'll be the number one thing if you ever do anything that counts for God will be based on this book, and this book is what will guide you. If you've been saved any length of time, your Bible ought to be wore out, should be marked up, amen? I mean, it ought to be coming apart, and if it ain't coming apart, then you're coming apart. Amen? You got to anchor your life in the Bible, and thus saith the Lord. And when I say Bible, I'm talking about a KJV 1611.
Amen.
Amen. That's the only one.
Right.
Rest of them's impersonators. They need to be arrested. So everything you do ought to count for God. You know this book, it'll convict you of your sin. It's hard to stay in this book and stay in sin. First thing it'll do is take you away from this book. That's the first thing it'll do. It'll cleanse you from your sin. 1 John 1:9. It'll constrain you to stay in the work. It encourages you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, I think it is, that the love of Christ constraineth me. Where's the love of Christ found in this book? Not Paul's love for Christ, but Christ's love for Paul. There's some of you sitting here right now, you've never got over the fact that God even saved you. You know what keeps you going? The love of God.
Amen.
It ain't your love for God. Amen. You don't bat 100 every day. Well, I love the Lord. Well, sometimes you don't act like it. Ain't it good He loves us?
Amen.
Ain't it good it's unconditional love?
Amen.
Ain't it good no matter what we can do, we can go to our closet and get on our knees and just ask God to forgive us?
Amen.
You do it about 3 times and go back and do it again, He'll beat the fire out of you. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You have knots all over your head. Spiritual knots I'm talking about. Another thing about that you'll find in this verse, in the C part is how I'm breaking this down. He said, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Boy, that's a good statement, ain't it?
Yeah.
Amen? You want to get right, live right, and die right? You need a prayer-supported life. You should ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now, there's a thin line between faith and foolish. You know God answers your prayer according to His will and not your will. According to His knowledge and not your knowledge. According to His plan and not your plan. That's why a lot of times we don't understand. Well, I prayed for it and it didn't happen. Well, God answers a prayer 3 ways. Yes, no, and wait. And I don't like wait. Now, you spiritual ones probably do, but I don't like it. Amen. I want it and I want it now. I won't pay... Get down on your knees and pray for patience. Say, God, I want patience and I want it now. Amen. But look at the privilege of prayer. You know it's a privilege? It says ye, personal. Everyone that is saved has a hotline to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, that you may obtain help in time of need. So let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's a privilege, but yet it's never practiced hardly. I ain't going to have a show of hands this morning, but how many of you prayed before you come to church? How many of you prayed for the preacher? How many of you prayed for me? I don't want a show of hands. Amen. You come here on Sunday morning, criticize the preacher. Did you pray for him? You pray for him Saturday night when he's trying to prepare? 90% of what I preach, I don't get to Sunday morning. I know that, get what you're going to preach on Monday, study it, write out it Tuesday, illustrate it Wednesday, and this Thursday, and meditate on it Friday. That's a good thing, but I don't do that. God called me to preach, and if I'm going to do anything, He's going to have to do it because I'm ignorant. Amen. I'm not trying. If you can do that, praise God for you. And usually when I think I ain't got nothing, it's when God moves in. Wow, there ain't a whole lot of me in it.
Yeah.
Then look at the preference of prayer. What ye will. That's an open charge account on the bank of heaven. You are to pray for everything. Pray for the little things. Pray for the big things. Amen. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is also a preference. What you will, you need to pray about everything. And then look at the power of prayer, or the promise of prayer, and it shall be done. The power comes from the person who made the promise. That's a pretty good deal. Amen? Well, I can't meet it. Brother Brent can't meet it. Other preachers and missionaries in here can't do it. But I tell you who can do it. God Almighty can do it. And if you want to get right this morning, and then you want to live right and die right one day, amen, you need to learn to pray. Not just in the hard times.
Right.
Boy, you know what you like your children to do is just come and love on you and thank you without anything being wrong. Mamas, ain't that precious? Daddies, ain't that good for your son to just come around and love on you and thank you for being their daddy and raising them like they did? Amen? Well, God likes the same thing. God looks down here at us and He might be disappointed. He might be proud. Look at the next thing there in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. If you're going to get right, live right, and die right, you got to have a fruit-bearing life. Amen? And fruit is more than souls. There's several fruits mentioned in the Bible. But it's more than souls, but you need to be a soul winner. Amen? Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Fruit-bearing honors others. There's the fruits of righteousness. Do you realize when you go out and win a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, it should honor God and not you? You got these big soul, powerful soul winners, and they won 800 people to the Lord last week, and you got 40 sitting in church Sunday morning. A lot of people going to hell on those kind of conversions. Amen. If you don't go to heaven, raise your hand. A boy was in a church one time. He said, all wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. All of them raised their hand, but one little old man sitting in the back. He said, sir, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, well, I want to go right now. Amen. But there's a fruit. It ought to honor others. Always done to bring glory to God. Fruit bearing benefits others. Well, I thank God today I got saved. It benefited it. The man that won me to God benefited me. Amen. And you get in a situation to where, well, I'm all right because I won people to the Lord. No, your walk with God is way important than winning souls. You get right with God, you'll win souls. You get right with God, you'll have a burden for souls. Amen? You have a burden. You'll be broken for souls. You'll be broken for family members and loved ones. You'll be broken for the neighbor when you serve God and get right with God and have a walk with God and fellowship with God. Now, a lost person can win a soul to the Lord. Do you realize that? So that's how important you are in soul winning. Amen? The Holy Spirit convicts them. But they got to have this word. You could be lost. The man that helped me accept Christ, he was my running buddy, and he would worry about dying all the time. And I'd tell him, I'd say, his name was Bunk. I'd say, Bunk, you need to get saved. I'm lost. But I was raised in church in South Mississippi, and I knew this thing called salvation, which I thought I had. And he would talk to me about it every Monday because he'd go off and act a fool on the weekend. I'd say, well, Bunk, you need to get saved. You know what he done? He got up one Sunday morning and went and got saved. I got saved a year later. I knew what his problem was. Amen? You get saved serving God, you ain't worried about dying. You don't want to die, but you ain't worried about dying. Amen? I mean, I ain't looking forward to it. Dying ain't the problem. It's how long I'm going to suffer before I die. I'm asking God to be, I don't suffer well. Amen, but that's all up to the Lord. But it honors others, it benefits others, and fruit-bearing identifies us with Christ. What we do speaks louder than what we say. The fruit of righteousness found in Amos 6:12, Hebrews 12:11, James 3:18. That's not souls, that's living right. Your neighbor seen you this morning back out of that driveway. They knew exactly where you was going. They know you're going to do that every day. They know Wednesday night, they see you back out of that driveway. They look over there and you're gone. Well, they're going to church. Sunday night, gosh, you're back in church again. Ain't nothing wrong with going to church, but three times a week? Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But one day that neighbor's going to knock on that door. Say, could I talk to you for a minute? We're having marriage problems. We got kid problems. I just got a bad. Would you pray for us? Amen?
Yes, sir.
It identifies us. When we live right, do right, look right, dress right, talk right, walk right, go to the right places, it identifies us as being God's people.
Amen.
What an honor.
Yes, sir.
What an honor. When we look like we're, you know, 9 out of 10 times, when I go in a restaurant, and I've done this so many times, and people would come in, and before they'd ever be seated, I'd tell my wife, I said, those are Christians. They'd sit down, get their food, and ask blessings. They got an air about them. There's something about them. Peculiar, I guess, is what the Bible says. You ought to be peculiar. That's a good thing. Be weird. Be weird for Christ. Amen? Amen. We was, years ago, I had a group called the Gloryland Girls, and they traveled with me quite a bit around the country. And we was way up north somewhere, and we ate in a restaurant and came out, and my girls was dressed proper and came out, and a man met us. Him and his wife was waiting on us to come out, and he said, "Sir, could I ask you something?" I said, "Yeah, what's that?" He said, "Are y'all Christians?" I said, "Well, yeah, we are. We're Independent Baptists." He said, "I told my wife you was a Christian and you was Independent Baptist." Hebrews 13:15, the fruit of our lips. See, there are several kind of fruits in the Bible. But fruit bearing, you got to have a fruit bearing life. In other words, you need to show the world who you belong to by your actions.
Amen.
And then the last thing in closing, got to be motivated by love. Look in verse 9. "And as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love." Christian love for his fellow man. We are told to love our neighbors many times in the Word of God, the 8 times in the New Testament. To love thy neighbor. You know the number one thing in our country over fights? Fighting with your neighbor. Over a foot of land. Over how loud the car is. Over the dogs barking. I got a woman lives across the street in front of me, had 50 dogs at one time. I got a neighbor that's got a rooster. I cannot pray, and the rooster runs wild in the woods. Why don't something catch it? Why don't a coyote get it? Why don't a rattlesnake bite it? I have actually shot it off the front porch banister and them in the house. But I can't hit it. But it crows in the morning and wakes us up. The dogs bark. What are you supposed to do? Love them? I will endure that I might win them. Amen. I will endure that. Christian's love for his fellow man. We are told to love our neighbors many times in the Word of God. Conditional love. Look in verse 10. "If you keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love." So it's conditional. Now, we know that God loved, but God so loved the world, that's salvation. But a life lived for God, if you're going to get the love of God and keep the love of God upon you, the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day.
Right.
That's lost and saved, by the way.
Right.
Yes, amen. Hebrews chapter 12, talking about chastisement, correcting. Amen. So there's conditional love. Jesus told his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So if you do the things Christ asked of you, this shows you love him. And it's hard to convince someone how much you love him if you're unwilling to please him.
Right.
You know, my wife's here with me. We've been married 51 years. It'd be hard to convince her that how much I love her if I wasn't trying to make her happy, if I didn't want to spend time with her, if I didn't want to talk to her, if I didn't want to be in her presence. It'd be hard, wouldn't it? Well, then why do we think God is different? You got you a fire insurance policy, and that's all you care about. But there's a judgment seat of Christ coming. And every man shall give an answer for the things done in his flesh, in his body. Amen? The modern Christian don't believe there's a judgment. The modern Christian says, "Judge not." But there is going to be a judgment one day. It's conditional love, and then it's constraining love in chapter verse 10, second part. Ye shall abide in my love. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that the love of Christ constraineth him. So if you want a life, if you want to get right, live right, and die right, that's five things I showed you out of these set of scriptures here this morning. And that's a trinity of a victorious Christian life. We got some elderly people in here, and I don't know how long they've been saved, but I bet a long time, and I bet every one of them can bear witness to what I just preached. You get up and go when you don't feel like it. You love people when they're unlovable. You forgive people when they're unforgivable. Amen? You have to. You know who it affects? It affects you. They're having time of their life, and you're tied in 10 knots. The mere mention of their name sends chills up your back. Who's it hurting? It's hurting you. And what we do, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever, do all for the glory of God. But you don't know what they've done to me. I don't want to know what they've done to you. They didn't do to you what they've done to Christ. Amen. This must be motivated by love. That's the fuel that keeps us going. That's the fuel that makes a man pastor. That's a fuel that sends a family to a mission field out of a good paying job in a beautiful home. That's the fuel that keeps you, your marriage together. And you get over problems and get through things. It's love. That's the fuel that'll keep you in the church house. It's love for the things of God, the people of God, the men of God, the message of God. It's love. And I know we're independent Baptists and we kind of got a militant spirit, but sometimes we miss this love thing. That's the spirit that will keep you in love with your pastor when you don't agree with him.
Right.
You ain't supposed to agree with him on everything. We're all individuals.
Right.
I can tell you right now, I don't know how many preachers in here. I can sit down right back here and talk for 20 minutes over a Bible issue and we're going to find something we don't agree on. Way God made us. Why, there'd be 15 million piled up in one church somewhere we'd all thought alike. Did God not send division over there and develop two evangelistic teams? Did he not do that? That's why we scattered all over the world. We all don't think alike. There's some basic fundamentals of this Bible that we have to agree on. Amen, in order to fellowship. But you sit down and get to talking, and what they'll do, they'll bait you. I've been running these roads 38 years preaching. I've been this thing a long time, and what they'll do, they'll bait you. Then when you leave, they'll tell the preacher, well, Brother Charlie don't believe like you believe. Well, you don't know what he believed because they didn't tell you all that. Any of you preachers ever been done that way? I've been done that way. And what you do, you're just fellowshipping with them. Well, what do you think about so-and-so? Well, I think so-and-so. They don't say a word about what their pastor thinks. Next thing you know, I get a call from the preacher I just preached for. Well, I understand you was telling my people so-and-so. I said, well, they asked. Well, that ain't the way I taught that. I said, well, they didn't tell me that. So I basically don't answer no question about nothing. I talk to you about guns, hot rods, muscle cars, I build them, street rods, I build them. I talk to you about everything. But I ain't talking Bible with you because you got a pastor. Amen. Hope you got something out of what I preached this morning. This is the 61st birthday of this church, or celebration of this church. I do pray for the life of this church, that it succeeds and it goes forward. I've been reading a little thing on the back of the announcements, the program this morning. Seems like God's hand's been in this all the way, even to this man being here. Amen. I don't know who's visiting here this morning, but if you're not saved, would you accept Christ this morning? This is not an invitation to join this church. It's an invitation to accept Christ as your Savior.